Welcome to Homeground. I'm Brian Kahn. It's the holiday season, so visualize a gift shop where people browse in a relaxed manner looking for the right present. Now envision a coffee house with tables, booths, and stools at the bar, where people order drinks and coffee prepared one rich cup at a time, then sit and read a book or talk with a friend for an hour or more. And finally, visualize a long, winding room with the feel of a frontier ghost town, weathered barn wood walls, old, well-fashioned bar stools, wood plank floors. Now you have a sense for a unique Montana business and community institution, the General Mercantile on Last Chance Gulch in Helena, Montana. Over 42 years, Ray Domer has built, owned, and run it. Ray, many thanks for joining us on Home Ground.
Thank you for being here.
I should tell our listeners we are here in the General Merc, so you'll hear sounds of kids talking and laughing, people talking, the general sounds of people having a good time. Where'd you grow up, Ray? Tell us a little about your background.
I grew up in East Helena. It's not far from here. And went to school in East Helena and then in high school here at Helena High.
What'd your folks do?
My dad was a masonry contractor. My mom was just a lovable mom who worked for the Highway Patrol for about 14 years.
So basically an urban upbringing and sort of the smelter town?
Yeah, a little smelter town. Also, my father was born up the top of Duck Creek.
Now, Duck Creek could be a lot of duck creeks.
There is a Duck Creek right by Townsend, right up by Mount Baldy.
Okay.
So that's across from the lake out by Townsend. And he was born in a log cabin. My mother was born in a ranch house over by Manhattan. And so both ranch kids, we had a ranch in our family forever, and we spent many a weekend and summers working at the ranch. And
you did?
Yeah. So it was my favorite place to be. And lots of old barn wood and old buildings.
I was wondering if that influenced the eventual look of the establishment we're in.
It had a lot to do with it.
Why?
Oh, you know, I just always loved the old West, the old barn wood, you know, the old blacksmith shop up at the ranch. We went to Virginia City a lot in the early days. Frontier Town up here, which was a neat place to take people. You know, all those places were always kind of in the middle of my heart as a kid.
Childhood for you was what period of time?
Oh, in the 50s, yeah. Childhood was really good. You know, I was, my parents were really supportive of me as far as my hobbies and such. And I turned the basement into a pet shop.
As a business?
As a little business, yeah.
How old were you?
I was about 12 at that time.
Okay, so you actually ran a commercial operation.
Very lucrative little pet shop. Anyway, so I sold tropical fish, and I sold canaries from Germany, parakeets from a lady back east, and just a little variety of stuff, all kinds of, you know, accessories and turtles. And
where did that come from? In other words, that interest in, was it in pets or in running a business or both?
I think business that for me is when I was like 4 years old, my parents took me to the marketplace in Seattle, and I smelled the tea, and I told my mother I would be a tea merchant someday. And then I started the pet shop, right? And then after that, I had a friend that I'd stay with him, Clarky Finch in Manhattan, who had a very successful business. I would go stay with him, and I'd work in their grocery store, and that really made me want to be a merchant even more. So
why? What about working in a grocery store?
Just always just fun, you know, stocking shelves and making it, you know, meeting people, talking to people, doing that whole, I don't know what it was so much, but it just kept brewing in me to the point where I came back here in the 70s, and there was this empty, beautiful building with 14-foot ceilings, and I decided this was a place to be a store.
This place where we're sitting
now. Where we're sitting right now.
When you said you came back to Helena, from where?
Well, I was in the service for 6 months and in the National Guards, and then I went to the college in Missoula, and I came back in the early 70s back to here.
If you look back on your pre-university days, if I said to you, what key values did you take from that formative period of life that still are important to you, what would you say?
My parents were very giving to me and very, very beautiful people. And I always liked the fact that they let me do what I wanted to do, and experience helped me with going on with my ideas of pet shops and different things.
Okay, that's supportive parents. What values does that leave you with?
My parents left me with a lot of values that you're nice and kind of people, and it's a great way to live your life.
All right, so you come back from the university and the National Guard experience, and here's this building. Now what?
So I started building the store. I sold my car, bought a van, drove to Seattle every weekend from like the 1st of May till December, and bought merchandise. I bought that tea that I loved and wanted. And bought posters and craft people's merchandise and jewelry and whatever I could find in the big city.
Now, let me just ask you, it sounds odd in this day and age to think of driving to Seattle every weekend, you said?
Every weekend, yeah.
In my book, that's a 10 to 12-hour drive.
It is a good drive, yes.
Well, why would you not order stuff? I mean, also one would say that's really an expensive way to do it. Why did you do that?
Well, in those days, there was no UPS here. It was all freight. And so those things that you could find that were percolating in the city, you know, little craftspeople, they wouldn't ship.
No UPS.
No UPS. It did come, though, very shortly thereafter, and we take full advantage of it today.
You're listening to Home Ground, and this is Brian Kahn. We're talking with Ray Domer about the unique Montana business and institution, the General Mercantile. In the beginning, what drove your choice of merchandise, and what was your business goal?
I don't know that they had a particular goal other than I wanted to sell merchandise of some sort or other. I would go into the city. You know, you could see what it was that people were buying and what were selling that you didn't find in Helena. I mean, there weren't craft marts, and there weren't all kinds of things going on here at the time.
Okay.
It was a barren land, as it were.
So you're just trying to make a go of it as some kind of business?
So,
is that fair?
Yeah, I just wanted to sell anything that was neat that I could sell. I had no particular goal in mind as far as what to sell.
We're going to walk through the store in a minute because I think that's one way to illustrate the uniqueness of the atmosphere. I talked about old barn wood and plank floors. Was any of this stuff here when you came?
No, it's everything I found and put in here.
So we're talking about just an open, empty...
Open, empty building, yeah.
Okay. Lead me through sort of the evolution of your thinking about what you wanted and how it developed.
Well, in the beginning, I had to build with little. I didn't have much money. I loved the barnwood in the old West, so I found a great source of barnwood and a love for barnwood. And just started gathering cool old things, pillars and old pumps from old ranches and wherever I could buy it and find it. And I just started building to fit whatever I was selling. Like I'd build a little greenhouse, when I sold plants, I built a pond for the kids to feed the fish with, and I've always loved that kind of stuff. As I went, I just progressed. The store just kind of moved backwards, and you could...
What do you mean, move backwards?
In the beginning, it was only about a half of the quarter of the store, and I just kept moving it back and back.
To utilize the space.
Yeah, to utilize the space.
When you say gradually expanding to the back to utilize empty space, that sounds pretty practical and pretty pragmatic to me. But in fact, being here, and again, we're going to take a walk through in a couple of minutes... My guess is there's more to it than that in the selection of things, the choices made. Am I right or wrong? And if I'm right, tell me what's going on in your head.
Well, the wonderful thing about the Mercantile is that I've been able to redesign it in my head over and over again, rebuild it, reshape it, redesign it. That's the fun part of having a store like mine. It's never really stayed quite the same all the time.
Give me an example of what you're talking about.
Well, you know, like putting the fish pond where the kids can get to it, you know, and have fun with feeding the fish, you know.
Okay, that's an unusual concept in a store. Where did the idea come from to have a fish pond that children could have fun with? Where'd that come from?
When I was a child, my parents would always stop and let me feed the fish, you know, the trout here and there, whatever, you know, those kind of places. And having a pet shop, I suppose. But I just think it's the neat thing about letting a little child feed the fish. you know, and they barely get up, you know, and that's their first thing they do. They come back again and again to want to feed the fish. It's just one of those things that I like and I enjoy. I really enjoy the people that come in and out of the store. The children that feed their fish, they're coming in now with their children and feeding the fish, and that's pretty exciting. The Indigo that works up at the front counter, she fed the fish when she was a little girl. So did Leah. So it's kind of a growing process of watching them grow up. It's really pretty exciting.
Now we're going to take a walkthrough through the General Merck to try to give our listeners a sense for what we have been talking about. We're standing at the front. Behind us is Last Chance Gulch, and the first thing you think you see walking through the door is this looks like an old wagon wheel.
This came from my ranch, where my grandma's ranch. It was actually off an old buggy.
And leaning up against the old wagon wheel, which is what it is, looks like a 1950s poster that says, "True Cowboys Smoke and Drink at the Western Bar, Helena, Montana."
These are reproduction posters that come from up in Big Fork, and you can have them made any way you want them, and we sell all kinds of them in the store.
Now we have just entered the store proper, and I'm looking here at some shelves that have ceramics.
These are old barnwood cook trays that I found in Seattle years and years ago.
And the ceramics?
The ceramics come from Oregon, and they are hand warmer mugs, and we sell a ton of them.
Over on the left here, looks like old-time candy displays.
Every old kind of candy I can find that is retro.
So in terms of candy, why does retro matter to you?
Why does retro? As a kid, I used to go to the candy store a lot, and which was a really important place. The candies were a penny. Now they're a nickel, you know, or a dollar, you know.
Now, above the front door is something that looks like an old banister. Am I wrong?
You're right. It is an old banister, and it comes from the old Broadwater Hotel, and we have like a few pillars as well in here. Over the front counter, there's two pillars. In the back, there's two more. And when they dismantled the Broadwater Hotel, a lot of people picked them up, and we've been fortunate to use them over the years.
Okay, so I'm looking at there are two pillars on either side of the bar, and they look like they're holding up a facade of old wood that says General Merck. Now, here's something that looks like a windmill. I mean, it's hard to describe, but there's a child and some sort of, it looks like it...
Churning butter. It's old churn, and when the wind blew, it would churn the butter. She would go up and down and would churn the butter. My grandfather built it from scratch.
In about when?
Ooh, I have no clue.
As we move toward the coffee bar where people order coffee, there's a large display case I'm looking at, wood and glass, containing imported chocolates from all over, looks like different parts of the world, sort of gourmet chocolates.
This case came from the old grocery store around the corner and is about a 12-foot meat case, and we put refrigeration in it so we can have chocolate year-round, but it's a little bit of Helena's past.
Why the mixture of the coffee bar? I'm looking at espresso machines, tea leaves, coffee beans, a lot of different choices for the customer, and gifts.
The blend of the two makes a place for people to come and drink coffee, and the gifts is just a plus for me to sell the gifts as well as a cup of coffee. It makes it possible to survive in a fast-paced world.
Well, this is sort of an antithesis to the fast-paced world, but I appreciate you have competition. As a businessman, what's more profitable, the gifts or the coffee?
The gifts, probably.
Now we are at the coffee bar. These look to me like old-time bar stools or cafe stools.
They're from the Highway Cafe up in St. Regis, and as a little kid, I swung around on them. I found them and put them into the store. Later years that they had put them in storage somewhere, and I got to come by them. They're a 1930 stool.
You indicated that you started out as a gift shop. What led to the coffee idea?
Oh, well, we always sold coffee and tea. I always loved selling tea. So the coffee bar was just coming along as something I wanted to do next.
Why did you want to do it?
I like serving people. You know, I think it's a fun thing to do.
Someone might say, why is it fun serving people coffee?
Well, because you meet so many neat people. You know, you meet tourists and you meet just such a broad selection of people with so many interesting things to listen to. That it's just a fun thing to do. I don't mind the public and the crowds. They're kind of fun.
We've now arrived at the fish pond, which is, I'm going to say, 3 feet by 4 feet of water dimensions, and then maybe a couple of feet deep. But the fish in there is about, it's about 2 foot long. I'm surprised. I was expecting little fish.
They grow, and they never stop growing. The Japanese koi. And the fish pond, to me, was just a great place for kids to be. And I had to have one pet in the house. That's it.
Practical question. How do you make sure the kids don't feed the fish candy?
Watch them closely and give them food and teach them.
And how long has the fish pond been part of the business?
Probably 30 years.
Above the fish pond is sort of a roof. Old-time long snowshoes, bamboo fly rod, cross-country skis. What's the story?
My father, being a mountain man, loved the skis. He skied all the time, and those are just things he had. We hiked into lakes all the time and went to a lot of fishing experiences at that time.
Did he ever see, your folks ever see any of this come to fruition?
Oh, yes, they did. Yeah. They participated a little bit in it. And as far as being there, my mom would come in and help me clean.
Okay, here's some merchandise I'd have to say is somewhat eclectic in terms of a collection. What are we looking at?
We're looking at a lot of great little gift items like emergency bow ties, cookie cutters, giant pencils, girlfriend of sorts.
A giant pencil as in almost 2 feet long. So somebody actually buys that?
All the time.
Also, there is something called squirrel underpants. I won't ask you about that. A little further on of perhaps more practical nature, teacups, beer steins, teapots, thermoses. So actually people buy some useful items here?
We try to have both.
We are passing people sitting at tables, talking, reading the newspaper. There's a local newspaper rack here. And here this says, caution, beware of kids. What are we looking at?
We're looking at the Treefort Playhouse, which is called the We Sweat Cafe, named after the No Sweat down the street, because it's so hot up there. But it is a little playhouse. It has five stools, an espresso bar, an espresso machine, all play. So the little kids can play upstairs. And mom can sit down and relax.
Now I'm going to guess, looking at this wooden vertical ladder that goes up, looks like about, I'm crawling in here, looks like about 8 feet of a climb to get up to the playhouse. And finally, there's a wall. I'm going to say it's about 15 feet long and 4 feet, 5 feet high of postcards. So there are, just ballparking it, 100 different types of postcards to choose from. And they would appear to run the gamut from the Mona Lisa, meaning straight art, to a sheep with a wool hat on its head, a little bit different. And unless I'm mistaken, that's the posterior of a feminine form. Let's just say it runs quite the gamut. Is that a reflection of straight business or some of you?
Well, maybe a little bit of me and business.
You're listening to Home Ground, and this is Brian Kahn. We have just finished a partial walkthrough of the General Merck Longtime Business and Helena Montana Institution on Last Chance Gulch. Having walked through the store, we're going to just ask at random some folks who are here enjoying coffee or reading or working on their computers why they're here. Good morning. You're sitting here at the General Merck. I'd be interested to know why.
Because it's got such a great community feel.
How long have you been coming?
Since I first came to Helena in 1999.
And if I ask you why you come to the Merck, what would you say?
To work and to socialize and to get my favorite coffee.
Good afternoon. And you're here at the Merck. Why?
I'm here at the Merck to meet with a really good friend from Helena, and I love the Merck because I leave with those one or two of those sassy magnets.
A sassy magnet is one of, if I take it, a gift item that has some sort of provocative statement on it?
It does indeed. And they tweak my middle-aged female angst, so I love them.
Actually, we have one on our refrigerator. It's a woman from the 50s saying, "Real friends will help you bury the body."
That's one of my favorites.
How about you? Why are you here sitting at the counter on one of the old stools at the General Merck?
Because it is the best coffee in Helena and the United States.
You do look familiar. I'm thinking I've seen you before.
That's because I work here.
That makes perfect sense. How is it as a place to work specifically?
I love working here. It's not really just a job to me. The people that come in here are great, and I really enjoy making drinks for people, especially when I know the product's good.
Amy, nice to see you. Now, I've seen you before at the Merck. How often do you come?
Pretty much every day.
Why?
I enjoy the people at the counter. I usually come early in the morning, and there's regulars that are down here. I've been drinking coffee here for 23 years. I pretty much raised my kids at the General Merck.
That's a statement that might surprise a lot of people. What do you mean?
Well, my daughter, when she was 2 weeks old, came down here with me for the first time, and I put her on the counter, and that's when Ray first started sticking cream in her mouth. And she's now 21 years old, and this is her favorite place in Helena.
Here's a young lady with a Carroll College t-shirt. Either you like the t-shirt or you go to Carroll College.
I actually play for the Carroll soccer team, so this is my Carroll soccer gear.
So why are you here instead of in class?
I actually have some time to study today because I have a test tomorrow, and the Merck is the first place that I come to.
Why is it the first place you come to?
It's just such a good atmosphere. It's really cozy in here, and I can always get a lot done because there's some great coffee, and the people here are great.
What year are you in school, and what are you studying?
I'm a senior at Carroll, and I'm going for physical therapy.
Good luck.
Thank you.
And before we go back into your office, Ray, we're walking on wood, coarse wood planks. There's a bigger wheel back here than the one at the front door. Anything about the floor? It looks old.
We laid barn wood down. Just over the floor. So it is old barn wood.
So that's the physical layout. What I didn't mention in any detail was the clientele, and I come down here fairly frequently. They're old people down to kids in strollers. When we started our walkthrough, you let two people in through the door, women with infants. That strikes me as an unusual mix of clientele. Fair for a business?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a good mix. We have a good mix here.
Does that matter to you personally?
Oh, I love it. I love the mix of people, you know, from businessmen into kids that come from high school and from mom and little kids to returning college students. They're all, you know, it's a steady flow of different types of people.
Okay. So then why does that matter to you? You're in business.
I really enjoy the different people that, you know, that come and go. But I think it's important when you're in business to have a place where, you know, it's comfortable for everybody, not just one particular segment of your population.
Okay. Someone might say, why does that matter to you? You're in, again, they go back to there's business and there's business. You're in the business to make a living. Mm-hmm. Why do you care that you have a diverse clientele that more than any place I know in Helena, except along with, say, with the Parrot Candy Store, which is an institution as well, has this sort of wide diversity of clientele? Why does it matter to you?
that's what I enjoy about my store. That's what makes it livable, why I enjoy coming to work every day. And I think that it works for the business. It makes it real viable.
As I may have mentioned, when we started walking through the store, two people came through, women with strollers. You addressed them both by their first names. How many of your customers would you say you know on a first-name basis?
It's hard to say, but probably in the hundreds. But, you know, there's a lot of them I forget over the years, too. But I never forget the face, and that's really special.
Sitting in your office, I would say it has a feeling, frankly, of being very comfortable. It's the same old-fashioned stuff, well-organized. But my sense for the office is less eclectic than the store in terms of you've got a computer, it looks like you got files well organized. But something I'm a little surprised to see, it's a late 1900s Winchester 22 pump rifle with a hammer and a steel butt plate. What's the story with the rifle?
My mother's brother, my uncle, won it as a child for shooting the most magpies in his 4-H group. And that was the prize. A valuable prize. And I came by it in latter years.
Behind you on the wall, it looks like a 19th, early 20th century portrait of a man, very nattily dressed, mustache. Who is it?
It's my mother's father.
Your granddad.
My grandfather, who I adored. And I just thought, you know, he should be in the office forever.
I've been around a while and been in a lot of stores, like most people, and I have to say, this business, first, I don't know of any like it. In terms of the physical materials of which it's made, there's obviously a really strong family history here. Why does that matter to you? Clearly, that's a reflection of something important to you.
Family is pretty much what it's all about. I like bits of my past and my family around me in this store, you know, just is an avenue to do that in.
And you've been at this for more than four decades. This is your life. How do you feel about it looking back? How do you feel about it when you get up in the morning and look in the mirror and know you're coming down to the General Merc?
Oh, that's easy. I feel really good about getting up every morning, going down to the Merc. I've never not loved what I do. It's always been fun.
Ray Domer, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.